Oh, hear that piano from down the avenue. I smell the cheese dudes, I look around for you. My sweet, sweet old someone, coming through that door. It's Saturday and the band is playing. Honey, could we ask for more?
Coming to you from the great city of San Diego and the neighborhood of Claremont, the venerable and always redolent of Little Caesar's Jeff's Room Theater, and the district of his house that always, for some reason, makes me think of Donkey Kong. Sitting with us, a bunch of YouTube clips we've assembled to make this sound vaguely old-timey, and of course we're glad you're all here to help us observe the, why I believe it's the 19th episode of Afterthought. We've brought questions with us from all the fans, Waylon Jennings will be here later, and from San Antonio, Los Tex Maniacs. This show brought to you by Powder Milk Biscuits, heavens they're tasty, Powder Milk Biscuits, and the Ketchup Advisory Council, reminding you that these are the best years of your life, so why not try ketchup? In fact, why don't you try some ketchup right the fuck now? Get it. Get some fucking ketchup, you goddamned loon, and slather it on everything you own. Put ketchup on your tie. I don't care. Just buy ketchup. The Ketchup Advisory Council demands it. Fucking ketchup now. Afterthought, the companion podcast to System Mastery, where every week we get together and discuss whatever the hell we want. John, how are you this week?
I'm so tired.
And as always, I'm Jeff.
No, you're not. You're some kind of jerk. You won't give me what I want.
Hi, Dad, I'm Jeff. Dad joke. Why wouldn't I give you sleep? You want sleep? Go get some sleep.
Oh, dude, you've got sleep? I love sleep.
There's a freshly made bed right in that room.
Delicious sleep.
Anyway, this week on Afterthought, we are post-discussion from Panty Explosion.
Yes, Exploding Panties, the game brought to you by the artist of the oatmeal.
I've heard that Exploding Kittens game has dropped fairly recently.
Yeah, it came out. I recently played it, actually, because someone just got theirs.
Tell me all about it. What's the deal with Exploding Kittens?
So Exploding Kittens is a game where your turn is, you draw a card, say go, and then someone else does that, and then someone else does that, and you go around, and you kind of look at each other, and then someone goes, ha, 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 this card says whale boner tetherball, and then there's a picture that is poorly drawn of that concept.
Okay, all right. So,
and then eventually someone draws a card that says you lose, and then you play your card that says no, I don't, and then play continues.
Oh. So, basically, it's like Russian roulette with all the fun parts filed off.
It's Russian roulette, except you can go, nah, I'm good.
I don't feel like pulling the trigger. Does anyone else?
Yeah, you can go, you know what? Instead of me, you have to pull two cards on your turn. But the problem is, there is no incentive to play any of those cards that are like, you skip your draw phase and someone else draws until you know for certain the top card is going to fuck you. Because everyone starts with one card, so you can't lose immediately.
Okay.
So you just play the game, and you're like, I will draw and do nothing. Spend no cards, and then wait until I'm either going to lose or someone else will win. Play every card I have to make sure that doesn't happen, and then that's it.
Okay, well, I guess the concept of the game is supposed to be like a one-time party game.
It's mostly for those that like Munchkin. It's, oh man, I like jokes that are very easy to understand and are on a card, and I don't care if the game is good.
I haven't played Munchkin in forever. Every time I stop by the game store, it's just slowly it's like having black mold in your game store. Like, every time you come back to the store, it's like, oh, shit, there's like 5 more feet of Munchkin on the wall.
Well, the problem with it is it also takes over other people's games. They're like, oh, what did you have there? Love Letter? That's a really good, simple, well-thought-out game. It'd be way better if I put some fucking potted plants and dragons on that shit. Let me get in there. What do you got, Castle Panic? What about Munchkin Panic?
You know what the problem with your game is? It doesn't have art by that Kovalik guy that draws everyone like Snoopy.
Yeah, you know what? I see you've got that game Pandemic. That would be better if it was Munchkin Pandemic.
And didn't they also have Munchkin Smash Up now?
There's fucking Munchkin everything. I swear to God, every time I see that they have a new Munchkin version of some other game, I'm like, stop it.
When was the last time you played Munchkin? Like, for on purpose? Instead of you thought you were playing something else, and it turned out it was fucking Munchkin.
Probably at least, like, 2 years?
Yeah, it's been a long time for me, too. I have copies. I only own the original core Munchkin, and then also I have the Space Munchkin, plus one of the expansions for Space Munchkin, and then like a something called Munchkin Blender, which is just bullshit cards.
Oh, it's just cards, so if you're combining multiple sets, it adds more of the goofy bullshit cards that are like, oh, you can have a thing that you normally can't have. Hooray.
You know why I don't play Munchkin anymore? Because I've already had a 15-minute argument about whether a item card with no value is the same as an item card with a value of zero.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm all set. Thank you.
No, it's the same reason we aren't allowed to play Flux, because we will just yell at each other for 20 minutes about what the meaning on a card is.
Yeah, our one game of Flux was pretty magical. I think we had like 3 cards down on the table, and that was enough to get us fighting.
Oh yeah, no, it was, I play this card, it adds this rule. Well, I interpret it that way. Well, I interpret it this way. Well, let's fucking have an argument about it, shall we?
Let's just stand up, walk away from Flux, and point at each other like... Like we're fucking Phoenix Wright.
Objection!
Yeah, that's how Flux is.
Yeah, that is a game of Flux for us. It doesn't actually get played. We just argue about it for 20 minutes.
Yeah, if you want to imagine what Flux looks like for us, imagine Newton arguing with Leibniz over who invented calculus. That's Flux.
Except way dumber.
Oh yeah, dumber and dumpier.
I don't know, I think I've got a Leibniz vibe going on.
Yeah, you totally have a real Leibniz bod. That's the hot new craze. Sweeping Hollywood is the Leibniz bod.
Everybody wants that Leibniz bod. Yeah, man. I like him. He's got a Leibniz bod, but he's a total Frankenstein's dad.
He's got a body like a 17th century German mathematician. Let me tell ya. Okay, so yeah, we don't play Munchkin anymore.
So anyway, that was like a 5-minute riff on nothing?
No, I think that's a good thing, because one of the things that you and I have been doing a lot recently is going to our local nerd store.
So much lately.
And what we do when we get there, and we get there only on 40K night, because that's the night where we can be our most disruptive, and we peruse the used board game section until we find something that costs $5.
Yeah, we are looking for anything that either says $5 or doesn't have a price tag on it, so I can go up to the counter and go, hey, $5?
Yeah. And then we play those games.
Yeah, that's all we do, is just play dumb crap we found in the used section.
Yeah, so any questions about what games we play, that's the answer. We play shit like Love Jenga.
And Mental Floss.
What was the one we played between those? It was, oh, well, Skyline 3000 was one of them.
Yeah, we had Skyline 3000, we had, God, we had the Champions of some bullshit
game. Yeah, the one we just played, Champions of something or other. Like, it's like a superhero build-your-own-tile adventure.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it was a little needlessly complex.
Yeah, it was a little overdone. But, you know, that's our new thing. So if you want to hear about crappy old board games that we bought... Oh, Careers!
Oh, Careers. Oh my God, a 1950s board game where you have to get a career, and the career is... Just you go around a track and then come back and keep going?
Yeah, you go to the hills and mine wolframite, or you go to the moon and break your leg and become famous.
Or you go into politics and you slap your secretary's ass and tell her to get you some coffee.
Yeah. So that was probably one of the best ones we've actually done so far. I love Careers. Careers is like Monopoly fixed. It's like people are still today trying to fix Monopoly. They fixed it in the 50s.
No, it's still a roll and move game, but it's got weird hidden objectives that you come up with yourself.
And that's the trick, is that you don't have that whole bullshit trying to stop people from winning in Careers because you have no idea what they're going for.
Yeah, I might have gotten like 50 points worth of fame, but I was actually going for money, but I'm destitute. So you have no idea what my actual goal was.
So if you guys ever wondered what us reviewing board games would sound like instead of role-playing games, it's roughly this. We'd go out and find $5 ones. Because that's everything we do in life, is buy cheap shit and make fun of it.
Welcome to our life. The life of a filthy poor that's angry about it.
So, okay. Panty explosion.
Panty explosions.
Is it worth talking about even more? No.
No. I mean, there was the one mechanic that was really good in there.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Because I don't know if we really drove home exactly how great the one mechanic of Panty Explosion is. In Panty Explosion, when you succeed at something, the player that you have nominated to be your best friend describes what that looks like. When you fail, the player you have nominated to be your rival describes what that looks like. So everything either looks super awesome or super terrible because other players with a vested interest in making you look good or bad have that job.
Yeah. So you have and you get to decide who it is. So if you know someone's going to be really good at describing something awesome happening, you'd be like, yeah, definitely for sure, I want you to be my best friend. Or if you know someone's not very imaginative, you can have them be your rival because you're like, oh, you're not going to come up with something bad for me.
Yeah. So one of the things I noticed after we put that episode live, and I remember that you said that it was your favorite part of the game, and we spent a lot of time discussing how you should probably use this game to play anything other than boring Japanese schoolgirls do boring Japanese schoolgirl stuff.
Yeah, like the Caddy JLA.
Yeah, the Caddy Justice League. That was our big intro, but we weren't the only ones to run with this, because right after we put it up, one of our listeners immediately made his own game just using that system. So he threw a ping back to us on our WordPress comment feed. I have absolutely no idea what that is.
Huh.
I just know that it led me to his site so I could read what it was. So this is from our listener, Heednot, and he didn't send this to us. I just found him making it on his own, using the panty explosion best friend describes, worst enemy describes mechanic to create his own sort of angry garbage people space adventure game called Captain Jerkbag.
Yeah, that's C-A-P apostrophe N, like Cap'n Crunch,
yeah.
He is Cap'n Jerkbag.
And similar to the Cap'n, he made it happen.
Yeah. Well, me and the Cap'n.
Me and the Cap'n. Those are the people who made it happen.
Everyone in our party, me, Cap'n, no one else.
So I want you to know that we found this and we went through and read it. And it's not all that different from the Panty Explosion core. You assign dice to a couple of stats and there are things like neck thickness and feet sneakery. You pick a bunch of aspects. In this case, you use gimmicks, scheming and rescue and special episode. And then you do the same thing where you nominate your best friend and your rival, which I just thought was great. And this is something I love to see. I love it when people who listen to us take the stuff that we extract from these garbage old games and use it for good.
Yeah, because there's usually at least a nugget of something worth talking about or using or something in these games. And being able to go, that's a neat idea. I'll use that in something that isn't horrible bullshit.
Yeah. And let's be clear. I mean, let's be fair. Panty Explosion isn't a terrible game. The mechanics are actually very interesting.
No, honestly, it's proto-Fate is what it is.
Oh, yeah. If you strip out the Godai and the blood types and the Chinese Zodiac and all the long paragraphs about suicide rates in Japan and all this other stuff that ultimately is more like fetish material than someone's actually attempt to make a role-playing game.
Yeah, and I mean, if you just boil away the Japan template that got put over it,
yeah, then what you have left is early Fate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an interesting game with good mechanics. It's just being used in a really kind of boring, predictable way. So I love that someone took this and tried to strip it down and make something good out of it. So congratulations, Heednot. You're getting a mention. Thank you very much. If you folks want to see Captain Jerkbag, maybe give that play a try. It's at heednot.net/Cap'n Jerkbag/, or just Google Cap'n Jerkbag, and remember, not Captain, Cap'n.
Cap'n.
Cap'n Jerkbag. So get out there, Google it, because that's the fastest way to find it. And good job. We read this, we thought it was great.
Yeah.
There you go. So, what else? You want to do some questions?
Yeah, we have so many questions this week, don't we? I just kept seeing them pop up all over the place.
Yeah, no, everywhere. And I did my best to compile as many as I could. Not only did we get a lot of questions, someone sent us a picture of Beyonce Knowles. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, wait, let's go ahead and count and get John. If you could give me a little intermission music, please, while I look this up for you. Okay, I was not expecting the random duck music. I know that's a thing that you always do. Here we go.
Oh my God, that's amazing. So everything's happy. There's nothing wrong in my life now.
So that comes to us from Kurt S., and I wish I could show it to you. It's a podcast, but Kurt, we're putting that right on the fridge. And in fact, I'm serious we're putting that right on the fridge, because I'm going to create a new page on the website called The Fridge, and anyone who sends us any fan art of any kind, it goes right on that page, so anyone can see the awesome fan art. I'm going to put that poster from, what was our
Air Bud?
Air Bud, the movie where a dog must be king. Someone made us a poster for that at one point. That's going to go on the fridge. And then also the Hamfellows commercial.
Yeah, right up there.
All on the fridge. So watch for the fridge immediately after this episode to appear with all the three pieces of fan art that people have made for us.
Remember, if you are a female and you are at all important to me, you are going right in the fridge.
Because you're a DC superhero.
Yep, I need to learn an important lesson about being a hero.
Great. All right, so let's get to the questions.
Let's do it. Let's actually get into questions right up in there.
Okay.
Let's tear them open, get in there.
I think we should probably dither a little first, don't you?
No hithering, no dithering, no yawning.
Can we dally?
We may have a dalliance.
I don't want to have a dalliance. I just want to dally a little.
Just a, God, a dally will do ya.
Don't get so far ahead of yourself there, buddy, going all the way to a dalliance.
Whoa.
I mean, I might consider it tryst.
Oh, this has been Dumb Words with System Mastery.
Extravaganza. That's a weird word, right?
Right? I'm not wrong here.
I mean, it's just a long word for, like, big party. It's extravaganza.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had a vaganza, but now I've got an extravaganza.
I know, it's one extravaganza over the amount of vaganzas you had when you started. That's
it's
crazy.
Too many vaganzas.
You know what else I'm really thrilled about with the fans for the past 2 weeks? Is that Frankenstein's dad has taken off.
Fucking Frankenstein's dad has taken off for me. I keep saying it, and it's just become a thing now where I'll say it to someone without realizing this isn't a common parlance, and they just look at me, and I go, oh God, I've got to explain this to you, don't I? No, okay. Never mind, I don't care.
All right, look, so I have this dumb show I do.
Okay, so you know Frankenstein, right?
Are you familiar with Mary Shelley? We're going to have to go all the way back.
Let's go back. Okay, the novel.
First of all, the novel. Then we're going to take a quick detour around Boris Karloff. Stop at Al Pacino, I'm pretty sure. I think he played it in that most...
Let me tell you the history of Universal Studios.
Is that right or am I crazy?
What?
Who played Adam in that most recent Frankenstein movie? Not the I, Frankenstein. That was...
No, not I, Frankenstein. That was fucking
but the one terrible. From the one from the 90s. It was called like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein or something.
Yeah.
Who played Adam in that? Was it De Niro or was it Pacino?
Probably De Niro sounds better.
I think it was De Niro. I feel like I'd rather see a De Niro Frankenstein. Although, I would rather see a Pacino I Frankenstein. if I'm being honest, and I am.
I would really rather see a Pacino I Robot.
Hoo-ha! I hate gargoyles! Or in your version, hoo-ha! I can't break these laws of robotics.
That has been our spot-on Al Pacino impression.
Hoo-ha!
Hoo-ha!
Yet. All right, first question comes to us from Michael M., and Michael asks, if you had to be an inhabitant of Jabba the Hutt's palace, who would you be? Han Solo doesn't count. Also, you can't be Jabba the Hutt.
Aw.
Ah. Damn it. He's the best inhabitant.
Right?
Okay, let's see. Who are some other inhabitants? We got Bib Fortuna.
Which is definitely my pick.
You're going Bib Fortuna?
I'm going 100% Bib.
All right, tell me all about why Bib Fortuna.
Because he's ugly, and that's great.
Also, he speaks a language that's basically just, like, pidgin English. Ne Jabba no Bada.
Hey, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, which stands for, don't bother Jabba.
Yeah.
Ne Jabba no Bada.
It's so good.
Yeah. He's a pretty cool guy. Bib Fortuna is the first and original Twi'lek.
Yeah, he's decided to take his little head doodles and wrap them around his neck.
Yeah, and just be gross with it. Just be all slimy and gross and pustular.
Actually, no. It's not Bib. It's going to be the fucking Rancor Keeper, what his name is.
Malakili.
Malakili.
Look at me going all off on the off Star Wars knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Malakili, definitely, because I want the job of taking care of all the random little pets.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Well, like, you're going to be sad when Jabba eats, like, 3/4 of them. I mean, the Rancor is only there because he can't fit it in his mouth. But no, okay.
Yeah, it's just like my dick.
That's why your dick is at Jabba's palace.
Yeah.
I've always wondered.
My dick is at Jabba's palace because he can't fit it in his mouth. That's it. That's the only
reason.
That's
why he collected Han Solo, too. Bring me this. Bring me that Han Solo. I need a Corellian that won't fit in my mouth. No, okay, so Malakili, I can see that. You're a very emotional sort of guy.
And I love animals, and I can definitely see empathizing with the Rancor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not his fault he died. Someone dumped 2 things in his room, and he just does what a Rancor does. That's just mean to kill it.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it'd be like if some dumb kid jumped into the tiger pit, and that tiger was like, oh, I'm going to eat this kid.
Yeah, then they shoot the tiger. It's like, oh, come on, don't shoot that tiger. Shoot that kid so the tiger can get at him easier.
I mean, that's my philosophy. Hey, shoot that kid. Is he in a tiger pit? No? I don't care. Shoot that kid.
Better safe than sorry. What if there's a tiger?
What if tigers are around? Better shoot that kid.
All right, let's see. I'm going to go with C-3PO. And that's because I know some apocrypha about the story of how the show was made, or the movie was made, which is that bikini that Leia had to wear, made of like a solid piece of metal, which means that it did not flex. And all of her stories are about how she spent every scene flashing Anthony Daniels. She said every time she moved, Anthony Daniels was like looking right up her womb. And every time she'd turn around, she'd see his C-3PO head kind of go, nope, 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 not looking. I'm not looking. I'm looking the other way.
Yeah, except I'm actually Malakili, which means you'd actually be 3PO, which means you wouldn't care.
Oh, no, I get that Roboboner. Haven't you ever seen the trading card?
The Roboner.
Yeah, the Roboner. There's that famous C-3PO trading card from back in the day where, like, his belt, one of his hip things came unloose and it gives him a giant C-3PO gold boner.
Ah, the great golden boner.
The golden boner. I used to get one of those every
Easter. That's
why
the Ewoks worshipped him.
Yeah.
They were like, the great golden boner has shown!
All right, so if I actually have to be someone, I'm going to cheat, because I can't be Han Solo. Fair. I can't be Jabba the Hutt. Fair. I think I'll just go with that one security guard that works for Jabba.
The Gamorrean?
The one that's wearing a cool helmet that's got, like, teeth on it and a little strap, and he's Lando Calrissian, and he's been there for, like, a year. That's going to be my guy. I'm going to just be Lando, because Lando's fucking cool as hell. And he lived in Jabba's palace for like a year. And you know, by the way, it's weird that he got promoted to general, and then as a general, his first assignment was to go infiltrate Jabba's palace and play a low-level security guard.
But he was just in there being, like, infiltrating. I don't think he was there for that long.
Oh, he was there long enough. He got a job. He got a job. He was long enough to be in a... And it's not like commute to Jabba's palace. I mean, it's in the fucking desert in the middle of nowhere.
Hey, man, you gotta commute how you gotta commute. You gotta get there.
You gotta take, like, one sail barge skiff to another one. There's a transfer point.
I think really what I would end up being is just Salacious Crumb.
Yeah.
Oh, I would just be a huge asshole all the time, and it would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I also wouldn't mind being one of the weird background monsters. I could be that shovel-faced guy that's, like, more face than body. That'd be all right. I could do that. Or a Nikto, or a Barada, or a Klaatu.
Good. I'm glad that you are the day the Earth stood still.
No, those are aliens that are in that Jabba's palace because he had a big boner for the day the Earth stood still. So he named two of the species, the Barada and the Nikto. And then there's a guy in there also named Klaatu.
And there you have it.
You know a lot when you read all those old stupid expanded universe Star Wars novels. Like, they tell you that every single person in there was a secret Jedi and also was a good guy.
Every single person.
Also, most of them survived that skiff explosion. What a great time they had.
Oh, what adventures they went on.
Okay, so there you go. There's sort of our answers. Next question comes to us from Ted Cheddar. Ted Cheddar says, you've been tasked with creating a new alignment system for a fantasy RPG. By the way, Ted, good job sending us a fake name. I'm tired of people's first name, last initial. People, send us more fake names.
More fake names.
More fake names.
Everyone knows no one's named Ted. Come on now. It's a bullshit name for bullshit idiots.
You've been tasked with creating a new alignment system for a fantasy RPG. It has to follow the same format as D&D, aka 3x3 grid, but otherwise is open to anything. What alignments do you use, and what outsiders are associated with them? Alright, so I think we can probably do this where the bottom of the alignment grid is Mexicant, and top of the alignment grid is Mexican.
Alright.
No, I don't like that. That's stupid. Let's see. Let's do, chunky
peanut butter at the top and smooth at the bottom?
Yeah, and on the far left side, we'll go with West Coast rappers, and on the far right side, we'll go with East Coast rappers. So, for example, if you're in the top right corner, then you enjoy chunky peanut butter.
You're a chunky East Coast rapper, which means you're Biggie.
Yeah, that's a Biggie. That's your Biggie alignment.
And if you're a smooth West Coast rapper, then you're just Snoop Dogg.
Of course. But if you're a smooth West Coast rapper at the top of the grid...
If you're a chunky West Coast raptor...
Chunky West Coast raptor?
Yeah, that's the... West Coast raptors and East Coast raptors. They've got a beef.
Oh my gosh, I want to see a stand-up
comedian.
They're
fighting over that beef.
West Coast raptors be eating your head like this.
East Coast raptors be getting kicked by gymnasts.
Oh my god, all right. I was going to say Ice Cube is your chunky West Coast rapper. And
there you go.
And then Snoop Dogg is your thin West Coast rapper. And then you've got Biggie on the top of the grid. I don't even know an East Coast rapper.
Who's a smooth East Coast rapper?
I don't know. I'm afraid if I say one, I'll be wrong. People are going to send me a bunch of emails about how that guy's from Atlanta.
Nah, you'd just be like, I don't know, Mace. We'll go with Mace.
Sure, as long as it's not Wale.
It's Luda.
Luda! There you go. I'm down for Luda.
Hell yeah. I'll do Luda all day, every day.
Also, exact center of the grid, oddly enough, 50 Cent.
Oddly enough.
Yeah. Weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. What classic D&D monster would you most like to eat, and how would you cook it? Good question. I'm going to go with a mimic.
Really? You want to eat something that's basically a treasure chest?
Yes, I would like to eat a treasure chest, although it's made of meat.
Oh, actually, I bet the tongue on a mimic is delicious. I bet it's like a really good cow tongue.
Yeah, I bet so. So I'm going to go with a mimic, and I'm going to say that a mimic is made of meat. So, I mean, just because it's shaped like a treasure chest, it's made of meat. That's just treasure chest meat.
Don't judge a mimic by its cover.
Yeah, that's burger meat in there. You just grind up a good mimic, you put that on a grill, you got yourself a nice treasure burger. So
the treasure burger.
Treasure burger, made of mimic meat. Knew it, Red Robin.
Yum. I'm gonna have to go with deep-fried illithid.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. You want just the rings? Are you going to take the whole illithid head so you have to pretend that it's like a squid, or are you going to just take the little chunks and rings?
Oh, I'm just going to take the chunks and rings. Just the tentacles.
Just the tentacles, okay.
I'm sure the rest of it is fine. I bet there are people that are like, nah, man, you got to take the whole head, boil it.
Suck the brains.
You got to suck the brain out through the eye holes. That's how you eat it. That's the local delicacy.
I would also go with a nice fried grell. Because, again, or you know what would be really good, I just realized would be an amazing thing to eat, is a flump.
Ha!
Right? You know what a flump is,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's like a floating spaghetti platter with, like, dangly spaghettis. Dude, that thing would be amazing. It'd be like eating a combination of jellyfish and chicken.
Oh, man, I would get one of them hell cows.
Oh, yeah, Rothe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would get one of them.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I can see that being really good. That's like what drow eat.
Yeah.
You get that real dark meat.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Ah.
Okay, so there you go. Oh, also, I'd like to try ghost. Just putting that out there.
Just putting it out there. I'm pretty sure insubstantial.
Yeah, just this ghost is insubstantial. Send it back and bring me a glass of water elemental. Okay, great. Next question comes to us from Kaylin B., and he says, hey, I heard you talking about how horror systems can be difficult to get to be actually scary. I feel like the podcast Cthulhu and Friends proves you wrong. The quality.
Well, fuck you!
Shows us. Though sometimes it does miss the mark, it has kept me up and at night and made me sufficiently paranoid after listening to it. That said, I am a huge baby who still cannot watch Courage the Cowardly Dog, so your mileage may vary. Okay, so I did something really a question. I guess he's just disagreeing with us. You know why I don't listen to Cthulhu stuff? I'm sick of fucking Cthulhu. I've had my fill of Cthulhu. All you gotta do to get your fill of Cthulhu is read one letter that is not about the mythos that H.P. Lovecraft wrote himself.
Well, that's mostly getting your fill of H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah, that's all. You know what? One time, him calling black people greasy chimpanzees, and I was like, I'm good. I don't need to read your fucking books about monsters. I am all set, you horrible racist. You are bad for the 1920s.
No, it's true. He's real awful if you know anything about him.
Yeah, I don't want to spend a bunch of time ordering a plush tentacle monster from a guy who said one of the worst kinds of puffy rat-faced Jews in a letter that he sent to another person instead of keeping it in his own mind. He is the dead author that makes me happy for the concept of the death of the author.
Except the thing is, because of the concept of the death of the author, you can read his things and disassociate them from him, because you don't need to take what his meaning is.
That's true. I could read his stuff and not think about him. Maybe someday, when I'm a more advanced person than I am now. But I'm not big enough. Right now, every time I pick up Lovecraft, I'm like, this is on the backs of racism.
Well, honestly, for me, it's mostly just Cthulhu has become zombies.
Oh, yeah.
That you're like, what do we have? Something that is kind of bad? What if we put a Cthulhu on it? Oh, that'll sell.
Yeah, here's the rule. If Munchkin did it, you don't want it. And of course there's fucking Cthulhu Munchkin, and I'm sure there's Cthulhu the Oatmeal.
Oh, I'm sure he's got some big thing on that.
Oh yeah, Cthulhu with Sriracha on him is riding a cloud of bacon to explosion happy.
Hey, that was the Oatmeal.
The
Congratulations.
Oatmeal. There you go, that's our joke. Okay, next question from Kaylin B. And he
an
says,
actual question.
An actual question, instead of just calling us wrong, which is fine, I don't mind being called wrong, you jerk. On a different note, what is your opinion on fireworks and the average person's ability to get fireworks and fucking pieces of shit who will set them off all week around a holiday like other people don't need to sleep? It is Guy Fawkes tomorrow for me at the time I am sending this, and I am in New Zealand, so we celebrate that thing. We celebrate it too. The fattest of nerds put on the stupid Guy Fawkes mask, and you can see their fat all the way around it.
Honestly,
it's like a halo of nerd fat.
The fact that the whole Guy Fawkes thing got taken over by Anonymous and was like, we've we got this mask. We really like V for Vendetta. And I'm like, okay, great. I don't care.
I don't get that whole thing. It's like, I kind of want to nerd out and tell people about how Guy Fawkes is not the anarchist they were hoping, that he was trying to establish a papal monarchy. And he's just yet another government douchebag. But whatever. Everyone already knows that shit. It's just not that interesting to see a bunch of people in that mask from fucking V.
Yeah, no, it's... I don't care. I don't care about it at all. Fireworks, however...
Fireworks.
Fucking... It's amazing that you actually are in a place where they can set them off, because being in California, that shit is banned, like, 99% of the time.
Which, it makes sense, because California is basically a giant tinderbox.
Oh, yeah. If you set off something in the wrong place, you are going to burn the state down.
Yeah, we have these giant fires constantly, because all we do here is grow shit and then let it die. That's what California is, just a giant field of dead plants and dead
and
animals.
Hopes.
Yeah, dead plants
we
and
hopes.
We
let hopes grow and let them die.
Bags of celebrity fat and dead hopes. That's California.
Welcome to L.A., motherfucker.
The smoking hole that makes our state worthless. Sorry, listeners in L.A., but
get
out of L.A.
Get out before it's too late.
Go up or down, there's good stuff either way. Don't go east, though. Oh, God, don't go east in California. All right, great. So there you go. We don't really have all that much of an experience with it, because in California, no one has fireworks. I mean, granted, every time it's the 4th of July, you do hear people setting them off, but it's like one little pop.
Well, the thing is, there's always like, oh, here's an entire area, and then like one county's rules are randomly, you can have fireworks here and no one else has them.
Yeah.
So everyone goes to that county to buy them and then sets them off at their place anyway.
Usually the answer to that county is just Mexico. You drive across the border, you load up with fireworks, you come right back. But that's because we're in San Diego.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, if you're in Orange County or above or anything, there's always some county that's like, man, we don't care.
Yeah. So anyway, they're not that big of a deal in California. Although, being San Diegans, our experience with fireworks is that people can't shoot them off correctly. Look it up, because in like 2013 or whatever it was, the fireworks show where they shot off every firework in the show at the same time.
Best fireworks show ever.
Oh, it was great. You got right back home. Oh, man, no problem.
You're like, welcome to the fireworks show. Done.
Go home. Good times. All right, great. Next question comes to us from Blake S., and he asks, oh, a very simple question here. What is the best and worst smoothie?
Okay, best smoothie, pineapple, done.
Just pineapple.
I put a
smoothie?
Pineapple in a cup. I didn't even blend it.
All right, I am going to go with something that's got pineapple in it, too. I love fucking pineapple. It's the best.
Well, it's basically citrus. If you give me, like, a pineapple orange...
I was going to say, my ideal smoothie, which I don't think I've ever actually had, would be pineapple strawberry lime.
Ah.
Or pineapple cherry lime. I like a little red in my smoothie. It doesn't have to be a lot, but I like a little red. So cherry or strawberry, that's fine.
I think I would go pineapple, orange, cherry would be great.
Yeah, I need some lime in mine.
I know you do. I know you're a limesman. You're a lime backer.
Yeah, if I was in the Garfield comic strip, I'd be Lyman. Mostly because he had the good sense to leave the Garfield comic strip.
Yeah.
So there you go. But yeah, I love lime. That's my thing. So I'd get a lot of lime in my smoothie, get some kind of strawberry lime thing going, and then definitely throw in some of that sweet, sweet pineapple goodness.
Yeah. Okay, worst smoothie is fucking that wheatgrass.
Oyster?
Wheatgrass and oyster?
Wheatgrass, oyster, dog bites your dick smoothie. A dog bites your dick with every sip.
Guaranteed, every sip.
Every sip. No, wheatgrass I don't even think counts as a smoothie, but it is just a little shot of gross. So yeah, that's definitely not very
fun. Yeah, no, an entire smoothie of it.
I'm going to say if you're going with Jamba Juice rules, then the peanut butter one they have there is god-awful, which I would not have expected because I love peanut butter drinks, but not that one.
Oh, that's sad. I've not had it.
Yeah, well, that's because you go in there and you're like, I'm not here to be... I mean, even you, the fattest of fucks, goes into a Jamba Juice and is not like, you know what I want while I'm here is a chocolate peanut butter milkshake, and I'm going to drink it in the bathroom. That's not a Jamba Juice. You're like, oh, it smells like oranges in here. I'm probably going to have some orange thing.
I'm sorry, do you have a larger cup for your milkshakes?
How much butter is in your chocolate peanut butter smoothie? Do you make a chocolate peanut butter and butter smoothie?
Yeah, no. Like, fucking, who gets that? Who is going into Jamba Juice and getting that?
Literally the skinniest, most muscular guy I know. That's all he drinks at Jamba Juice.
Ah.
That's Charles's drink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he gets the chocolate smoothie when he's there.
Aww.
Or the peanut butter one, I forget. But that's, he's some kind of crazy super runner, so I guess he can get one and get away with it. But when I'm in there, I have to pretend.
Yeah, you go in there and you're like, look, I'm huge, you know what the deal is. I have to at least pretend I'm getting something.
So for a second, you consider one of those ones that's got vegetable juice in it. You're like, oh,
carrots.
The one with beet juice in it sounds appealing. Strawberry Surf Rider. It's the one with the most ice cream.
But I just want ice cream and a strawberry on it. You got any hot fudge back there? Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Sorry to have bothered you.
Could you give it to me in a rolled up pizza?
I'm sorry. Do you have a deep fryer back there?
I need a deep fried smoothie. All right, so worst smoothie ingredients, hypothetical edition. You're allowed to put whatever you want into it.
Okay, so like a Buick.
Nails. Let's see, Schadenfreude.
Yeah. My last shred of dignity.
Antifungal foot cream.
Antifreeze. Freeze. Mr. Freeze.
Blended up Mr. Freeze, the worst possible smoothie. At least it's already cold.
Yeah. Thanks. That's it. That's where we're ending it. Mr. Freeze smoothie.
Now with no heart. Alright, next question comes to us from Argy Trash Bear.
Thank you, Argy Trash Bear.
Again, fake names. Great, love it. Argy Trash Bear says, "Heyo, so here's a question for your next Afterthought episode. You two have been given complete creative control over a new children's cartoon that is being produced. You can make it into anything you want, do anything you want with it. There is only one condition. The show is supposed to be a vehicle for toy merchandising. You have to sell toys with this show. What is the show? What are the best-selling toys from the show? And what are the worst-selling toys?" We talked about this one, I'll be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You want to do yours first? Do your pitch?
All right, sure. So, John and I both are strong aficionados, or fans, if you were, of the genre of cartoons from the 90s that are for kids, ostensibly for kids, that are based on programs ostensibly for adults. So, your James Bond Jr., or your Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Things that were cartoons from subject matter that were not for children.
So, that's why I would introduce my brand new Shining Babies, which is a product about The Shining, but for kids.
Huh?
So, in this game, there's always, "Welcome to the Overlook. It's a hotel full of friendly ghosts.
Come play with us.
Here's Johnny with a slide to go down." So, in this story, the little boy from The Shining, who has The Shining, uses it to jump through the Overlook's paintings into magical worlds of adventure. He meets the ghosts from the 1920s, and they go on interesting adventures where they have to solve puzzles and learn lessons. He also has an awesome tricycle that he can use to get around that can talk. Ah, also his mom, Shelley Duvall, just a cartoon mouse now.
Finally turned into a cartoon.
Just the way she's always should have been. Yeah, yeah. Just like normal, but a cartoon.
Yeah. excellent.
Yeah, and then you've got the dad who keeps writing all work and no play is terrible for a 10-year-old. So, of course, the best toys from this are the magic talking tricycle.
Yeah.
Which you press a button on when you're riding around.
It's like a big wheel.
Yeah, it's a big wheel, and you press buttons on it, and it says things like, "Come play with us," and so on, and that's fun. And then also the magic extra black guy that shows up randomly through the movie, you can press a button on him, and Axe immediately appears on his back.
He has one of those flip panels for battle damage.
Yeah, it's a flip panel. Yeah, when you flip it, there's an axe there. And he just goes, "Ah, why was I still in this? Why didn't Kubrick cut me out of the story? It would have made sense for me to not be here." Blah, blah. And yours?
Okay, so mine, I'm definitely going with the Exorcist cartoon.
Okay.
Saturday Morning Exorcist, and it's Regan going on magical adventures with her best friend, Captain Howdy. And her and Captain Howdy have to solve mysteries and run away from two evil priests that keeps trying to stop all of her fun.
Oh, yeah. I got to imagine that they're like Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern in Home Alone.
Yeah. They're just super cartoonishly like, "I will get you yet, Regan. The power of Christ compels you to quit solving those mysteries."
That's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, the best-selling toy from that is definitely Regan with real vomit action, where you press her head down, and then a little green goop that you put inside shoots out of her mouth.
I also like the one where you can wind up her head, and then she launches off like a helicopter.
Yeah, just...
So there you go. Exorcist kids.
Yeah, and then the worst-selling toy was probably just the bed that moved around.
Oh, yeah. And the worst-selling toy from the Shining one is the Frozen Family Pack edition, where they're all just stuck in a block of ice and can't move. It's from an episode where they meet a very friendly, abominable snowman,
yeah,
who's shy.
The very friendliest.
Yeah, so there you go. Those are our cartoon shows. Someone draw some pictures of that for us. Please and thank you. All right, next question comes to us from Nick from Cincinnati, and he has a couple different things he wants to ask, so I'll just run down the list.
Let's get it. Let's get right to it.
We got time to kill. First, I love your podcast and desperately wish there were more out there like it. Not me. My first question relates to that. I noticed that a lot of people seem to completely reject the idea of criticism being leveled at RPGs, beyond simple, this rule doesn't work, / this weapon is overpowered stuff. In addition, most criticism tends to be redirected toward the GM can fix it, / the players weren't trying hard enough. Have you noticed this kind of resentment towards criticism? First question, right there. Yes. If you ever want to find out more, just look up when the RPG.net thread found out that we did an episode about Stormbringer.
Oh, yeah. Essentially, if you go into any place that is only for RPG talk, it's mostly going to be hug boxes unless the entire forum has decided something is bad that they don't like.
Yeah.
Like, if you go into the EN World or whatever?
EN World's the one that's terrified of 4th edition.
Yeah, it's just the super grogs at EN World that don't like anything that is different from what they have played.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. That's what that forum is all about.
So, and then they have a whole thing where you're not allowed to be mean to certain editions, but it's perfectly fine to be mean to other editions. It's kind of fun to read those kind of, watch that sort of a hug box develop. So yeah, we've definitely had that kind of experience. Let's see, what's next here? Given that nerds love making fun of bad movies and video games, why do you think so many of them get mad about RPGs? Oh, because you develop love for RPGs when you're a kid?
Well, it's, for me, the way I look at it is, when you're talking about a bad movie or a bad video game, there are so many out there, and you probably spent, let's say, like, 2 hours watching a movie, or you played a video game for a couple hours, maybe, and that's it, and then you were done with it. Okay, sure. With an RPG, you may have spent years playing an RPG, which means if someone comes along and starts talking shit about something you have invested, like, percentages of your life into, then you're gonna take it way more personally than if they're like, hey, I don't really like Halo. And you're like, oh, I do like Halo. Why don't you like it? Oh, I don't like first-person shooters. Okay. But if someone's
like,
let
us part as friends.
Yeah, but if someone just goes, hey, you know what sucks? D&D. No, don't really like it. And you've been playing D&D for 20 years, you're gonna be like, you're a big dumb idiot. Why don't you fuck right off?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Of course, we try here at the show to not get like this. All the games we like, we fully acknowledge are dumb.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. They're real dumb and bad. And as long as you are aware of how dumb and bad the game that you are playing is, and you have made your peace with that, I'm fine with it. It's when people are playing a game and they're like, no, this is awesome. As long as you do such and such house rule, everything's great. And I'm like, no, stop it. Your game is bad if you have to say, as long as you change a bunch of things, it's good.
Well, I always like the maxim that literally no one has ever played first edition D&D the way it is written.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that has never happened. Like, no one plays it right at all. It's impossible. It's kind of like trying to play Monopoly correctly. Granted, it's probably a better experience to play Monopoly correctly, but no one does that.
True.
All right, and then what are your best recipes for game night cooking? I think we might actually have this one twice, so if that shows up from someone else, don't worry, we're answering it now. John, your best recipe?
All right, so best recipe for game night. Now, I'm gonna go ahead, get a phone, call Papa John's, get a pizza. What do I look like? A fucking chef? Out of here.
He kind of got a Paul Prudhomme vibe going.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could have my own fucking TV show where I tell people how to cook things poorly.
All right, so
I made toast and it got burnt.
Follow the recipe on the box until you get tired of it.
Okay, so I made this meal. I got some chicken. I need to shred up some cheese. I'm just going to take a bite out of this block of cheese here. And oh, this is a good enough dinner.
I'm going to sit down.
I open a can of beans. I'm just going to spoon beans right out of this into my filthy mouth.
Maybe say herm.
Ronch, ronch, ronch.
All right, I actually am a chef.
Yeah, you actually make things, so why don't you go ahead and answer with a real thing?
I like to make and I've said this before when we've asked this question, I like to make pork loin for gaming, because pork loins are cheap as hell.
Oh, God, I was at the store the other day, saw some cheap pork loin, and I'm like, I should buy this just to bring it over to Jeff so he can cook it for me.
So I like to take a pork tenderloin cut, and I like to make it a nice rosemary and thyme covering. I like to give it a brine first, stick all that shredded rosemary, thyme, all that good stuff on there, and then just kind of get it in the oven and roast it for about an hour. And that makes a real tasty dinner that I think you can cut it into tasty medallions. It's good for everybody. I just usually fry up some potatoes with that, whether they're for fork or like making French fried oven potatoes. That's my usual go-to for feeding a bunch of people before we start gaming. I'm poor, so pork loin's a cheap meat that I can get enough of to feed everyone.
Potatoes are super cheap.
I know, so there you go. That's my usual go-to. I also like to make drinks, so I'll make my girlfriend in particular, who has absolutely no interest in gaming whatsoever, but loves to see drunk people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely adores it, and God bless her.
Yeah, so anytime we do games at my house, she'll just show up and be like, who wants melon balls? That's like her contribution, which is awesome. So that's, we have a lot of fancy drinks here as well. So there you go. Third, if you had to make a White Wolf RPG about people who play role-playing games, what groups would you make to encapsulate the kind of gamers you encounter in most groups?
Well, if you go to the website and check out my many-part installment on the different types of gamers that I wrote up a while ago...
God, that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. On Politics of Gaming. Go ahead. Check it out. Check out my writings. Yeah. Check out my blog. Check it out. Check it the fuck out.
Well, I'll tell you, I think we should probably defer this question, because the book that we are reading for next week's episode has a whole section on exactly this.
Huh.
There was a section where I thought it was player concepts, like, oh, if you're playing, you want to play the pest, then this is how you play your character as the pest. It's not. It's a section describing what players are like and how to quash that shit.
Ah.
So, look forward to that in a week. So, we're going to answer that one soon. Sorry, shouldn't even read that out loud. But we don't usually research before we do these things. Finally, please answer this question. A woman is at her mother's funeral and meets a man whom she instantly falls for. She forgets to get his phone number and a few days later kills her sister. Why does she do this? All right, so this is the sociopath test. We have Facebook too, Nick. the answer, quotes to this, is that she does that because if the guy showed up at her mom's funeral, he's likely to show up at her sister's funeral too. And if you answer that way, then you're thinking the way she thinks, and so you're probably a sociopath.
Wow, that's weird.
Right? The problem is, it's the only evidence that's presented.
Yeah.
So it's never been a very well-done question.
You might just be really creative. You could be like, oh, well, that sounds like a punchline to something, so that sounds like a great joke.
Yeah, I like the idea that you just start creating shit for the story. Like, why did she kill her sister? Oh, her sister was it, or the thing from the movie The Thing?
Oh, yeah obviously.
Yeah, she had to do it, so, you know.
She was possessed by the ghost of her mother.
Possessed by the ghost of Christmas past. Which is way worse than it sounds.
Yeah, she just kept going, hey, remember when you didn't get me that thing for Christmas? Whoa. It sucked.
Yeah, that's the problem, is since it doesn't present any potential alternatives, the sociopath answer is the only real answer that makes any kind of sense. You could also just say, I don't know, she's a murderer?
Oh, yeah. No, when I see that question, my immediate thought is, I don't know, was her sister trying to kill her? Was it self-defense? What?
Was it the man is the greatest game scenario?
Let her sister loose on her island and then hunted her
for sport. So the answer is for sport, of course.
Obviously for sport.
Yeah, was she stuck in like a Saw scenario where like she had to dig a key out from behind her sister's eye in order to keep herself alive? One of those? It could be, but there's no evidence, so the only possible answer is the sociopath answer. Which, whatever. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
There you go.
Are
we sociopaths?
No.
No.
Are we dumb?
Yes.
We're big dumb idiots?
We're big dumb dummies. That's what we are. That's we that answer. All right. Alex from Texas asks us a couple more questions here, and here they go.
All right.
What makes a gaming session work for you? Everyone shows up.
People pay attention.
People pay attention. No one makes a Monty Python reference. That's a good time. I'm happy when no one makes a Monty Python reference. Or, good lord, I used to play in a game store like about 9-10 years ago. You know what I never need in a game session again is anyone doing a Cartman voice. I'm going to put that out there. No Cartman voice makes me a happy gamer.
Great.
Yeah, so the moment someone's like, what's your fighter do? Hippies. I ain't hippie.
I'm thinking I'm a hippie masseur.
Yeah, ugh.
What about Stewie voice?
Oh, God, Stewie voice. That is terrible, too.
Yeah.
And I believe we've played with people who do the Stewie voice.
My old roommate would constantly do the Stewie voice for everything. Be like, oh, you going to the store? Would you like to pick me up a pie? And I'm like, oh, my God. Why? We're having a normal conversation. Why?
Yeah, okay, so there you go. That's a bunch of things we don't like. You've reviewed tons of systems. We sure have. If you had to pick a setting from one system and the mechanics from another to run a campaign in, what would they be? All right. Setting, Vanishing Point.
Yeah, that shit was tight.
Mechanics, panty explosion. Yeah, there you go. High five. Right up. We got it in one.
In one. Team done. We are on it.
So if you want to find out what that's all about, go. You probably just recently listened to the Panty Explosion episode, which had some sweet mechanics boiled into some stupid Japanese fetishism. But Vanishing Point had an awesome story, and actually mechanics that weren't terrible. They were charmingly nerdy. But it's fine. You can still pull them out and replace them with the rad best friend, worst enemy mechanic from Panty Explosion and have a great time.
Oh, yeah. I think that would work deliciously.
Yeah. Right back to that Stewie voice.
There he is.
All right. So let's see. From a design perspective, is it a good idea to reward system mastery in a game? Put another way, are things like trap options or unbalanced classes additive to the game's experience?
No.
No.
Never.
No, no. The problem with those is it means that, like, let's take, for example, the people who are always saying that the fighter is in D&D for your little brother. Like, this is a class that's in the game for the one guy who doesn't really want to try very hard and just wants to hit things and roll a d20. That's great. What if someone else wants to play a fighter? Should they have to play on a training wheels character, or should they have a complex option that's interesting and rewarding to play?
Yeah. I mean, if your concept is, I'm a rad, awesome dude, and I swing a sword, and I'm super cool at that, and I wear heavy armor, and they go, oh, you're playing a fighter. By the way, that's a garbage class for idiots to pick. And you're like, oh, okay, great. Yeah,
that shouldn't exist. The complexity should be relatively even across the board. If you have a friend who literally can't play RPGs, why are you making them?
Yeah, and honestly, the trap options, it doesn't add something to say, oh, you figured out how to game the system and you know that this is bad. You know that taking this feat, even though it sounds cool, actually rules as written, does nothing. Okay, wonderful. Or you're in a game that has a BP-XP divide and you know how to spend your BP such that you enter the game with effectively like 50 more XP than someone else.
Yeah.
Awesome. You learned how to game the system, but all that means is you're playing a game and pissing other people off.
Yeah.
It's not a game where one individual wins. So if everyone has the system mastery, it's fine. But if certain people don't, then it's just making the game worse for someone.
I read once someone describing Pathfinder rules, and they were talking about how good they are at Pathfinder, and they were describing a feat for crossbow shooters.
Oh yeah, prone shooting.
Prone shooting, which has been since fixed, but back when he was describing it and saying how great it was, it didn't do anything. The feat literally did nothing. It let you shoot crossbows from prone, which you could already do.
Yeah, it was, oh, you shoot from prone without a penalty, and there wasn't a penalty for shooting prone with crossbows.
Yeah, but he was like, oh, I'm smart enough that when I make a crossbow character in this game, I don't choose that feat, because that feat doesn't do anything. And he was, like, proud of himself instead of ashamed of the game he was playing.
Yeah, that's just terrible. It's a bad idea to have that in your game.
All it does is inflate your page count and waste everyone's time. So no, I don't think it's system mastery when you don't have a trap options, but when you're just really good at combining things across different lines and so on, that's fine.
Well, yeah, if you can squeeze, like, if you have a balanced game and you're like, oh, I made this weird combo that does something really well, but at least is, say, in a niche. Like, oh, I specifically do something in this situation. That's fine. You've managed to, like, master your character's concept to be specifically something rad. Awesome. Otherwise, you're looking at it going, why? Why would you do this? You're just making it harder for everyone else to do stuff.
Right. Next question. Have you guys had a chance to actually play games again since you started the podcast?
Yeah,
okay, very early. A little bit, here and there. We played some Iron Kingdoms a while back. I've played some D&D. John's played some stuff as well. So between the two of us, we have gotten out there. I don't think the two of us have sat down together and played a role-playing game in about 2 years.
Yeah, no. Basically, since we started doing this, we've just not played together at all.
In our defense, it's because we don't like each other at all.
I do not want to be in a room with this guy for longer than I have to.
This is acting.
We are real good at acting like we like each other.
Oh, I sure am, you twat. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. No, hang on. Yeah, so... But we are actually gearing up to start a campaign together. We're going to be playing in a good friend. He actually sat with us in a review many years ago. We're going to be playing in an Exalted game with a friend of ours.
Yeah, that new third edition.
Yeah. With a bunch of house rules, because it came out the gate with a lot of limpiness to it.
Oh, yeah. And that's when people ask us if, because we keep talking about Fate, if we like crunchy games. Oh, I love them. They just tend to have way more that can go wrong.
Yeah, so there's a lot of changes we're making, but we're about to be playing in an Exalted game together. Hey, maybe we'll bring you a trip report sometime. Would you like that? Let us know. Okay, and you guys have gone on record saying that 4th edition was your favorite edition of D&D. Full disclosure, it's mine too. Yay. What the hell happened there? Why do people grumble about it?
Because they will grumble about everything that's new.
Because the internet is a cargo cult. That's what it is. I mean, all it takes is one person saying something stupid, and it permeates through a membrane of the internet, and all of a sudden everyone thinks it.
Well, all you need is one very catchy phrase to say.
Yeah,
when
you
say
pithy.
D&D is WoW, it's tabletop MMO, someone goes, oh, I can remember that. That's a thing I can remember and repeat.
Yeah.
I don't need to know anything. I can just repeat this.
We had that argument with one of the guys at the local game store like a week or two ago where I just asked him, hey man, what's wrong with 4th edition? And every time he listed something, I just like, oh, that was also in 3rd edition and is currently in Pathfinder. And he was just like, well, okay, but...
But it's different in this one.
It's different. The thing was like, you have daily powers. And I was like, oh, okay, so like Barbarian Rages? Okay, but like... Everyone has them. Oh, so like Barbarian Rages or the fighter feats that can be used once per day or once per session. Yeah, but they all have the same name. And I was like, are you really mad that everything has similar naming conventions? Is that your... And the whole time he was just like, oh, it's like tabletop World of Warcraft, finally. I was like, you've never played World of Warcraft, dude. You have no idea. You heard that on the internet.
Yay, internet.
That's what happens. It's just catchy, pithy phrases. I don't know. It's
the internet ruining everything.
And here's the thing. We don't hate the other editions.
No. I played a bunch of 3rd Ed. I played a shitload of 2nd Ed. I played a bunch of different D&D.
The only one I haven't played and I'm not especially interested in is the new one because it seems lazy to me.
Well, it's essentially a patch for 3rd edition.
Yeah.
It's 3.75.
Yeah, which I would have preferred for them to move forward instead of kind of trying to appeal to people who wish they'd move back. So that's all. And even then, I know that sounds pithy. I know that. But I've read it, and I basically agree with myself in this situation, and not just with someone who said that on the internet. Hell, I just said that on the internet. So everyone, take that and move it forward.
Go take it, my minions.
All right, there you go. He switches to non-RPG-related questions, although this first one's pretty RPG-related. How big is your independent collection of dead role-playing game books?
A couple shelves.
I want to say about 4 yards, maybe, counting the shit that's in my garage.
I have about 3.5 meters.
to use the British. No, I have a good 12 to 14 feet.
I have a fortnight worth of books.
Fortnight. I have enough to build a fort, which houses a knight.
Yeah. Knight.
Yeah, I have basically every 4th edition book and a ton of the Rifts books. But yeah, if measured out, I have about 12 feet long of role-playing game.
Man, I don't even know. There's so many of the things that I own are on your shelves anyway. I've got a giant tub of old crap books, including Rifts, a shitload of Vampire the Masquerade, and various things.
So between the two of us, there's probably about a good 20 or 25 feet of role-playing game.
Yeah.
So that's the best we can tell you. I couldn't tell you in pages. And the fact is, it's not all up in my room, because why would I get all that out? I don't have an exact measurement. But it's a ton. It's a friggin' ton. Because I also made it a personal point to get the Player's Handbook, DMG, and Monster Manual. I'm sorry. Yeah, DMG and Monster Manual of every edition of D&D. So and that meant with 4th edition, I ended up having to get like 4 of that for everything because there's so many player handbooks.
Huh.
Anyway, next question. Kill, bang, marry, current living English royalty.
Okay.
Done. On it.
I will kill, bang, and then marry every current living English royalty in that order.
We're just gonna go through them in a swath, like a wildfire. No, I think we can agree here that
it's the queen.
It's kill the queen,
marry the queen, bang
the queen. That's because, okay, banging a corpse is proper English royalty stuff.
Well, yeah.
And then if you marry the queen and then kill the queen, then now you're the king, who is fucking a dead queen.
Yeah.
And that's the way to be.
That's proper English.
Yeah.
I am proper chuffed.
I'm proper chuffed, I am. Okay, so there you go. And which one of you is better at Jenga? I am.
You if you're drunk.
Yeah, if I'm drunk, I'm invincible at Jenga.
You're too drunk to lose.
Yes, literally my plan for Jenga is that I get too drunk to fail. And it works.
It's like being in a car crash where you're just too loose and it doesn't come crashing down on you.
Yeah. I'll just walk right up to the tile and just flick one at random and it'll fly off and land in my girlfriend's lap and I'm like, drunk Jenga. Yeah, tell me what it says, hon, because I only played love Jenga. If we're sober, though, John's actually the one who plays Jenga, like, with the real rules and properly.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You gotta take the first one you touch, one hand only.
All right, sure. But when I'm drunk, I'm unstoppable.
You're the juggernaut of Jenga.
I'm the Mozart of drunken Jenga. Where you are the drunken Jenga Salieri.
Yeah, it's true.
How does he do it? Ah! All right. This one's specifically for you. What kind of downsides are there to living as a cartoon hot dog?
Well, people keep trying to eat me. That's for one. Come on, people. Cut it out. You're chasing me around. You've got cans of chili. Enough is enough. All right?
There you go. And if I'm ordering off the Cheese Dude's double secret takeout menu, what should I absolutely avoid?
Oh, Jim, he is the worst. Whenever he takes your order, avoid Jim.
Avoid the Jim was a recent slogan we tried out for Cheese Dudes. And, of course, it's a double meaning because it's primarily a radio ad because we don't want people working out either because that wastes valuable Cheese Dudes eating time.
Right.
So, but also avoid the Jim because that guy's creepy. He really looks like someone who was on the hills, have eyes.
Oh, man, I have to assume someone has made that mashup somewhere, and I thank them for their efforts, even if I didn't see it.
Great. So, let's see, also the Yump Dark. I mean, Yump Classic and Yump Mold are both fine, but Yump Dark is murky, to say the least.
Oh, yeah, it's got a little bit of that bitterness, but also too sweet.
Also, usually there's a leech in there.
Usually?
Yeah, I mean...
And sometimes there isn't, and I get so pissed off, because I'm like, look, I didn't order this to have no leech in it.
If I order Yump Dark, it's because I want a leech to lunge onto my eyeball when I try to drink it every time.
Every time.
All right, so there you go. Next question from a different letter writer, but also asking about the Cheese Dudes franchise, is from Chris, and he says, hello. Having just had two little cheese curds of my own, I'd love to know more about the Lil Cheese Curd section of the menu at Cheese Dudes.
All right.
Okay, so first of all, when you order a Lil Cheese Curds menu item, you have a couple choices. You can get a basic cheese explosion, which, of course, is slightly smaller for a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can get a party Mexican fiesta platterito-ito, which is a smaller version of the platterito normally. It's only got, like, one, let's see, it's got a beef chumaca on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's the chicken neglet.
Yeah, the chicken neglet, which sounds super racist, and I wish you hadn't said it.
No, it's just a neglet J.
Okay. I was going to say, it's the chicken aglet was where I'd go, and it's a chicken stuck on the end of a shoelace.
You can swing it around, it doubles as a toy.
Yeah, every one of them comes with a toy. Usually that toy is a loose bone.
Yeah.
Kids love bones.
And some fragrant nards.
Some fragrant nards in every box.
Just a side of fragrant nards or apple slices.
Or apple slices, your choice. Try to drink Yump Kids. It's not carbonated, but there is more sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And then, of course, there is a breakfast menu option, which is two pancakes covered loosely with beans.
Just loosely.
Loosely beans.
Just loose beans.
Loose beans and corn scattered on pancakes.
Also, Loose Beans and Corn, great band. Please see them.
What was the other great band we came up with a few minutes ago? Jacket Noises or something?
Oh, yeah, Jacket Noises. That's a wonderful album from Loose Beans.
Loose Beans and Corn.
Oh, Jacket Noises.
Oh, okay. All right. It was something about Jerk It.
No, it was Jacket Noises, which is mostly this. That's the Jacket
gross.
Noises.
Stop that. Stop making Jacket Noises. Oh, all right.
Well, my nephew listens to this. Hey, hi, Neil. You shouldn't be listening to this. We're awful people. My sister is a poor mother for letting you listen to this.
10-year-olds should listen to this show at all times. We really should research before we do the Cheese Dudes questions, because we've been making up shit about Cheese Dudes for so long now.
It's true.
All right. Next question comes to us from Tom. I'm going to let John read this one because it starts with, I'm from the southwest of England, and you seem to like British accents. So if you want to read this in my voice, you can have a crack at the local dialect, which is pretty much stereotype pirate without the catchphrases. Enjoy. John, why don't you go ahead and ask this?
Stereotypical pirate? Really?
He's from southwest England, so yeah, that actually does make sense.
Dear the Jays, since you're indistinguishable on air, I see no need to assign you individual identities in my head. I really like the comedy sitcom End of the Superhero genre, with a live-action series of The Tick being the crowning achievement of this particular subgenre. Patrick Warburton and Ron Perlman? Yes, please. I have a long time wanted to run an RPG in this style, and I've never been sure how to do it.
All the superhero RPGs I've considered seem too combat-oriented, but your recent suggestion of running Justice League and Panty Explosion seemed to really hit the mark. Is this the game for me? What system would you recommend I use to run a game where a bunch of mildly inept superheroes battle with mundane tasks to hilarious results, but also occasionally defeat supervillains, and why? Please assist a loyal listener or twin-spouted font of RPG wisdom.
Okay, first of all, he says we sound exactly the same, but clearly he sounds like every other leprechaun I've ever heard.
Oi-joi!
So, I think he's going to get mad at you for making him sound so Irish. By the way, could you please say Heart, Stars, and Clovers?
Heart, Stars, Clovers? Horses and Blue Moons!
Pots of Golden Rainbows!
And the Red Balloons!
That's all I needed. Okay, so...
Yeah, no, if I was being Irish, I'd have way more of a lilt to my voice.
Okay, so you're sounding like an angry British Irish
person. It's like someone on the border of Scotland and England.
So he's from, like, York or something.
Yeah.
Oh, sure,
fucking
all right.
Yorkshire assholes.
We're so wrong. We're still so mean to the British.
Yeah, the fucking British. God damn it. I don't know why we've decided on this show to hate the British, but whatever. Fuck you, limey bastards.
No, we're fine with you, though, Tom. Thanks for listening.
You're one of the good ones. You're a credit to your people.
Oh, my God. All right, so anyway, yeah, Panty Explosion seems like it would do really well for running goofball superheroes.
Oh, totally. Because you want to have dumb things happen, and having that rivalry between your various superheroes makes for a very The Tick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Imagine what Batmanuel would say about The Tick if The Tick fell down on his face.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Oh, man, Batmanuel's
from
the live action.
And then Arthur is his best friend.
Yeah, yeah.
It works perfectly.
Yeah, it really would. Man, Batmanuel's from the live action, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It's Deflator Mouse in the comic and the cartoon.
Yeah.
Man, that's... What was the American Maid on the...
American Maid was, like...
Lady Liberty
or something?
Yeah, I don't remember. It was something Liberty for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, we agree. I love that genre of goofball superheroes screwing up. So I think Panty Explosion has a lot of... try out that Cap and Jerk Bag game we recommended earlier.
Yeah, go look at that. It's got like the neck thickness and whatnot. So that actually will kind of work for superheroes.
I think
doing
so.
That anyway.
Yeah, get right in there and try that. See if that works for you. Also, do we sound the same?
We sound so the same.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah, you and me, we sound the same.
Yeah, we're talking high right now. This is what we're doing.
Yeah, this is what we do.
what the fuck is wrong with us?
I have no idea. That was like a Hardy Boys thing.
Let's go find a clue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think I found a clue.
Good job, Chet. All right. The next question comes to us from, oh, man. He's one of those people where we've been messing with his voice or his name every time he sends us a question. Hey, guys. This is from Cyclo Sloopler Man, LLC Jr.
Paul... All right, this comes from Paul Blarble, Mall Cop.
Psycho Superman Mall Cop asks, hey guys, how are you doing this, you Frankenstein's dads? See, look, it's catching on. So me and my group are 3.5 dorks, and even though I have tried, it is difficult to get them into the concept of playing a different system. We converted everything into 3.5, and after a drunken session a week ago, I have been given the task of creating a Smokey and the Bandit RPG with 3.5 rules. Since I know how much you guys love feats, do you think you could help me think of a couple of Smokey and the Bandit specific feats? Keep up the good work.
Great.
So, John, have you ever seen Smokey and the Bandit at all?
I've never seen Smokey and the Bandit, so my feats are probably +1 to smoking, and +3 circumstance bonus to banditry.
I'm assuming that Smokey and the Bandit is a show about Hexus from Fern Gully and a raccoon.
I was going to say, probably it was an animated show featuring Smokey the Bear and Bandit the Raccoon.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's
good. Oh, no, Bandit from Johnny Quest.
Johnny Quest, the dog from Johnny Quest.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's
our
cartoon.
Although I still really like the idea that it's Hexus from Fern Gully, because I love anything that's Tim Curry. But anyway, so Smokey and the Bandit specific feats. Now, neither of us has ever seen that. I don't even know if it's a show or a movie.
I know it's a movie. I think...
Burt Reynolds, maybe? Is that right?
Maybe Burt Reynolds? Robert Redford?
Is it a Hal Needham movie? Is that right?
Is it Hal Jolson? Is Hal Jordan? Is it Jim Webb?
Okay, so let's see. You're probably going to need some feats relating to using CB radios.
Yeah, you're definitely going to need some driving feats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need at least two. One for the gas pedal and one for the brake!
Oh! You'll be here all week, folks.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and good night.
This is what happens if we go more than an hour.
Yeah, no, I think we can just end it here.
Oh, no, we got, like, one more question.
Nah, fuck them. Fuck
everyone. No, I'm asking it, because I really wanted to get this one in there. Last question.
Yeah, let me work it in there.
All right. So, in the answer to your question, buddy, I'm sorry, we don't really know anything about Smokey and the Bandit, but I recommend that you introduce a raccoon and a bear.
Prone shooting.
And prone shooting, because God knows that's missing in 3.5.
Yeah, there you go.
Really got to fix that problem. Last question. This comes to us from our friend Ryan Marshall. We got to answer it. Ryan's the guy who loaned us Cinnabar so we could make 3 episodes out of it. Got to do this. So, hey dudes, the other podcast that I follow is Happy Jacks, where they mostly recount horror stories about bad players and GMs who don't understand social boundaries. For a change of pace, I asked them to talk about the systems that they hated or found unplayable, and they obliged on their last episode. One of them even mentioned Top Secret as particularly unplayable, and Cinnabar also came up.
It'll happen.
Yep. For the sake of symmetry, I wanted to ask you for any stories about nightmare players or GMs. Have you ever met a new player who was constantly making inappropriate jokes and committing unspeakable acts against NPCs, or a GM who railroaded the party to the point where you wondered why you were even there? What are some of the worst players, worst GMs, or just overall worst people you have ever met in the course of your gaming hobby? Thanks and have a nice day!
Okay, so I may have told this before. I think I've definitely mentioned it in passing.
Okay, well then just tell it in the Pepperidge Farm voice and it'll sound new and different.
You remember a time? No. So, back in our Rifts days, there got to a point where we had like 9 or 10 people my house when we were playing, to the point where there were just like separate tables of people. And one of my very good friends since like 4th grade, Chris, was there. But Chris didn't really ever care about role-playing that much. He was super hyper and just, like, not willing to pay attention at all. So we would all be, like, trying to have some serious thing, and then he would just pipe up with, like, I shoot him in the left testicle. That was his signature. He would always attempt to shoot everyone, make a called shot, to left testicle. Never the right, always the left. His other quirk was, every single one of his characters had to be Canadian and a hockey player.
That's good.
We had a game set in Japan where he was a Japanese-Canadian hockey-playing cyborg.
With a left testicle shooting.
And he had a gun that he would use in addition to his vibro hockey stick.
Okay.
That he would use to shoot people in the left testicle. And he was always like, I want to go to the black market. All right, I try and buy some stuff from the black market, and then I steal it, and I shoot him in the left testicle and run away. Like, that was the kind of player he was.
Cripes.
Bless his heart, he's amazing, he's a great person now, but as a kid, he was the goddamned worst.
All right, so the only thing I can tell some stories about horrible players. I once watched a guy drive home from the game store crying because his strength 25 Minotaur he'd been playing was not able to pick up a castle and throw it.
Yep.
Now that's, but I don't really remember that guy's name or anything. So I can tell stories about how when I first started playing D&D, we had one guy in the party who was one of those thief players.
Oh yeah.
Managed to talk the DM into letting him play a changeling and spent the entire game just messing with the other players. That was all he did. That was his bread and butter in his life. He'd just say, I turn into that guy and steal from that guy. Then I take this guy's stuff and put it in that guy's bag and then blame that guy for stealing from that guy. I'm great. Aren't we all having fun, you guys?
Isn't this fun for everyone?
This is so much fun. I'm having the best time. So I've also had some horrible gaming experiences from that. That's why I always rail against letting anyone play shapeshifters, and why you shouldn't let new people play thieves.
Yep, and as far as GMs go, I've lucked out that, for the most part, I've never had a bad GM. I mean, I've had ones that are slightly more railroady than others, but that doesn't really bother me if I go in knowing, like, oh yeah, that's sort of, we're playing a module, so I know it's going to be railroady. Stuff like that.
My go-to bad DM story is that I went to a game I pulled a tag off like the board at a game store and went to a game at someone's house, and I brought a friend with me. And the two of us sat down to play, and the very first thing that the DM did was introduce an NPC that was a horrible kind of racist gay stereotype.
Yeah.
And the first thing I did was say, hey, buddy, can you not do that? I'm bi. So he made the character, he said, oh, I'm sorry, and had the horrible gay stereotype character hit on me.
Great.
And so I left.
Awesome.
That was pretty awful.
Yeah.
It was like an orc in a diaper who wanted to suck a dick. That was like a big deal for him.
That has come up before.
I know, it's been on the show before, but it's the worst experience I've ever had, and ugh. Just awful. 'Cause the thing is, I'm kind of a forward, honest guy about being bi. So when shit like that happens, I'm usually the first person to go, hey man, I'm that. Knock that shit off.
Yeah.
And usually that works in gaming store circles. Normally when you're playing 40K and some guy goes, "You're rolling pink dice, that's gay." I'm like, "You know what else is gay? Me. I'm gay for dicks." I love dicks in my mouth. And they go, oh shit, I'm sorry. No, but this guy was like, "Oh, I'm doubling down.
Oh, I will die on this hill.
Yeah.
I need this orc to be a gay stereotype in a diaper."
The weirdest one for me, I played 40K against a guy once, and I was playing my Eldar, and I was rolling my pink dice, and I own flaming hot pink dice that I use for playing 40K, because when they fall on the carpet, you can find them. And because no one tries to steal them.
No.
They're perfect. Drive pink dice, because they will fall on the gray carpet at every gaming store in the world, and just little beacons. It's amazing how visible they are. But this guy, of course, I roll my dice, and he goes, "Pink dice, that's gay." And I was like, "I'm gay too." And he goes, "Me too." And I was like, "Oh, so you're just one of those gay guys who uses gay as a pejorative and doesn't give a shit. I did that for years. Let's be friends." It was great. It was a good moment.
Aw, that's heartwarming.
The real problem is that guy was completely an asshole in every other capacity. We just had a brief moment of friendship there.
Aww.
Very brief, before he turned right back into one of those people who rolls their 40K dice and then picks them up before you can count them.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. And that's the kind of guy that, like, measures and then takes away the measuring tape and then moves the model, and he just goes way farther than what he had measured.
Yeah, well, granted, there's only two people who play 40K and are gay at the local game store, so I'm sure you know who I am talking about. Yes, you, if you're listening.
I hate you.
There you go. That's the last question. That's all I wanted. By the way, I wanted to mention, Happy Jack seems to come up a lot. So that's some podcast that a lot of our listeners are also listening to. People have asked if we were planning to do a crossover episode with these guys. I gotta be honest, I don't think we're on their radar, and I don't know that they're on ours. I've heard of them a couple of times.
This is the first I've heard of them.
I'm gonna give them a listen. I'll listen to that episode. We'll see what that's up with. If you want us to, I've heard people, more than one person has said, "When are you guys gonna do a crossover with this other podcast?" If you want it to happen, let's make it happen. Get in touch with them and tell them they should listen to our show, and that we will listen to theirs. We'll be friends.
Yeah. Okay, this has gone on for like an hour and a half. We should probably end this now.
Ah, it's only been an hour and 15 minutes. I think we've got
another good half hour to go.
Another half hour in the tank. No, I think you're right. We're done. So thanks so much for listening, everybody. This has been the Afterthought Podcast. As always, you can find us at SystemMasteryPodcast.com or System Mastery on Facebook or Twitter or on Gmail. Drop us a line if you want us to do anything. We're going to go watch a movie soon for our Movie Mastery Podcast. If you have any crazy movies you think we should watch, we will watch anything that counts as a movie that we can find. So send those recommendations in, and just keep us going. We got a Patreon, we got shirts to sell, all kinds of nonsense, but we don't have time to really plug this week. So thanks so much for listening, and have a good day.